Hi, Kennedy Warren.
Nā mihi mahana, Catherine.
So, tell me where you are and what you're up to.
I'm at home in Auckland, just having returned from 3 weeks on the road and in the air. And speaking of in the air, well, a big greeting to the kuaka, the bar-tailed godwits, that are right now flying south across the vast Pacific Ocean. It's wonderful to be able to watch their progress in almost real time, courtesy of the Pukorokoro Miranda Shorebird Centre's Facebook page, which shows individual bird tracks as they are travelling across the Pacific. Because of satellite transmitters on the legs of selected birds, we know that right now three young bar-tailed godwits, kuaka, are en route across the Pacific. On Saturday, the lead bird, identified by the coloured bands on her leg as 4RRB, passed through the atolls of northwest Hawaii. This is her second round trip. On the trip south, most godwits fly direct and non-stop from Alaska to Aotearoa, but during 4RRB's journey in 2021, she decided to take a 5-week break in New Caledonia. Smart bird, I say. Then she flew on to New Zealand, but veered 500-odd kilometres out to the east of East Cape before apparently realising she was heading for Antarctica, so made a sharp left turn, flew across the North Island to the west coast before turning south and landing at Foxton, where, of course, there is a wonderful sculpture of godwits in flight on the road just right next to State Highway 1, a sculpture by Kate Madison. Godwits are among the many shorebirds that feed in the Manawatu estuary. So you can see all of this on the maps that are on the Facebook page, and it's fascinating to watch how they make their in-course directional corrections based on adapting to wind and the particular weather systems that are happening. Now, some of this year's migrants have already arrived. Last Wednesday, 4BWWB arrived at Pukorokoro Miranda after an 8.5-day flight from Alaska, covering 12,000 kilometres. This is her third round trip. Amazing to think that modern satellite transmitters have enough battery power to keep working for 3 years, and researchers are hoping that her transmitter will keep working for the return trip to Alaska next autumn. So how do they do it? The longest non-stop migration of any land bird. A recent scientific paper that I was reading this morning said that their journeys challenge basic assumptions about bird physiology, orientation, and behavior. Now, from an energy point of view, they shouldn't be able to do it. Unlike the soaring of an albatross, which requires very little energy, godwits must flap their wings for the entire way. They say it's the equivalent of a person running an ultra marathon for 9 straight days without stopping, eating, or drinking. Current models say they shouldn't be able to fly more than 3 or 4 days on the amount of fat they have to burn. The birds seem to use less than half of the energy they would be expected to use. Perhaps they're in some kind of suspended animation, almost a Zen trance. They certainly go through some profound internal restructuring before the journey. Their gizzard, kidney, liver, and intestines shrink, and the pectoral muscles expand. They double their weight in fat before they fly, and it is fat that fuels the flight, not carbs. When they arrive, they weigh less than half of what they weighed when they started. They also have incredibly efficient lungs, which enables them to fly in the thin air up to 5 kilometres altitude. Another fascinating thing, I've always loved watching godwits when they're flying overhead, chattering to each other, just kind of keeping in touch. Well, they seem to decide as a group when to start the migration, sharing impressions of the upcoming weather systems, the equivalent of discussing the weather forecast. They migrate in groups, but it's possible that some young birds making their first migration at 3 months of age do so without adult supervision. This is because the adults tend to leave first. So no one's really sure about this, but it seems that a lot of that navigational skill is innate. Navigation continues to be a great puzzle to ornithologists. Godwits appear to operate several internal compasses simultaneously using stars, sun, Earth's magnetic field, patterns of light polarization, and wind patterns, kind of amalgamating data from all these sources to keep them on track. The incredible nature of the journey becomes even more impressive when you realize that the Pacific Ocean is so vast, and I didn't actually realize that until looking at a map this morning, the Pacific is so vast you could place all the land masses of the world into it and still not fill it. There'd still be 10% of ocean surface left over. So what can you say about an extraordinary flight like that except to watch it and feel amazed at how these lovely birds can do it.
Fantastic. Now, onto the gannets now.
A quick segue.
Yes.
Onto the gannets, takapu. Well, while godwits are migrating, gannets are laying and sitting on their eggs. A few days ago, I was visiting some of the gannet colonies called gannet trees at Cape Kidnappers, which is the largest mainland set of gannet colonies in New Zealand and I believe in the world, about 5,000 breeding pairs. The females are nesting at the moment, brooding eggs that they laid last month. So I watched males bringing strands of seaweed to their mates, flying overhead with a great trailing tress of seaweed to supplement the nest. And when they land and meet their mates, there's that lovely mutual bowing and intertwining of necks and tapping of beaks, which is known charmingly as bill fencing. I never tire of watching gannets feeding. I was remembering back to a story I wrote for National Geographic in more than 20 years ago, which started with the sight of gannets plunging into the sea off the coast of KwaZulu-Natal during the sardine run, which started with these lines. The sky was white with gannets and filled with their manic chatter. Wings folded to their sides, they plummeted into the sea like feathered missiles, leaving green bubble trails in their wakes. They were hunting sardines and the water boiled with fish. Well, I never get tired of watching that, like javelins just falling into the sea. And we're lucky that we can see this off the New Zealand coasts. And finally, from gannets to Gondwana, well, I had to have an alliteration, but what I'm talking about is the Daintree rainforest in North Queensland. That was my first time to visit there a couple of weeks ago. Said to be the world's oldest lowland tropical rainforest, around 180 million years old. So very much part of the original Gondwana flora. Immense trees filled with epiphytes, such as giant basket ferns with spike-studded vines climbing around them, and through the and under the canopy and through the trunks of the trees, the iridescent blue and black Ulysses butterfly. Wonderful. What struck me was the amazing nest of the orange-footed scrub fowl, one of several weka-sized birds known as incubator birds that build enormous nests out of soil and leaf litter that are essentially giant compost heaps up to 4 meters high and 9 meters in diameter. That's an incredible feat for a small bird, and they lay their eggs in that. The decomposing vegetation keeps the eggs warm while they're developing. And just a little factoid here, if you liked the movie Avatar, which is going back a fair way, I admit, you'll love the Daintree because the jungle overviews of the planet Pandora were based on photos of tropical rainforests around Cairns. So that's that was my little, only a short experience in the Daintree, but a truly lovely forest to be in. And that's what I've got
for you today. That's Kennedy's news. Gorgeous, amazing photos. Thank you. Gosh, those cliffs near Cape Kidnappers are something else, aren't they? Yeah.
Aren't they? Yeah.
And then
I've not
seen the tooth before. Go ahead.
Which? The which?
The tooth.
Oh, the tooth, yes. Yeah. Well, one of the colonies there just has this incredibly steep, sharp, well, it's a tooth, like a canine sticking up out of the sea. And I think Cape Kidnappers must be the only place where you can see sheep and gannets in the same landscape.
Of course you can. Thanks so much, Kennedy.